Good to see all of you here tonight. And if you need the outline, it's in the back. And Doc also has some copies here if you'd like to look at that. Daniel chapter 5. So in preparing to talk about this tonight, I'm going to try to prepare you for what we talk about tonight is God's judgment on a kingdom and sinner. What we have in the book of Daniel is we have a reminder from the Old Testament of a very real fact that exists today. It's not popular to preach on this. It's not fashionable to think about it. But the reality is that even this very day, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against sin. So tonight I'm going to use this opportunity to take a very familiar story and amplify it to some other places in the Word of God to help us all have a little primer tonight. You all know what a primer is? What's a primer? Does anybody know what a primer is? One who prims. No. No, in grammar school, you have a primer. Sometimes in English, you learn and you have a primer. You have a small book. And so this is a short, abbreviated view of a very important topic. And I have no apologies for talking about this. So I'm going to say that at the beginning. Number two, I am thankful to be saved and born again. And yet, I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I'm making these comments before I get started. But there is a great need in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to have a balanced understanding of how the wrath of God and the love of God can exist at the same time in the character and nature of God. And the reality is that it's so. So what I'm talking about tonight will not be comfortable because it's going to make you think about some of your own family and some of your own friends and the majority of people who walk the face of this earth who this very night are condemned and under the wrath of God. So what I want to do before we start this is I want to go through and just read in its entirety the story of Belshazzar, the last king. I hope you're listening. The last king of a very powerful great empire called Babylon. Heavenly Father, we ask that tonight you would help us as we, as followers of Jesus, have to take in the sober reality of your judgment and your wrath. We have to understand, Lord, better what it means and these examples you've given us in your word. Help us understand the judgment of God on sin. May what we learn tonight help us not only in our own personal lives, but as it pushes us out to tell people who are living under condemnation, under a sin debt that has not been forgiven because they have not called out to Jesus for salvation, who face a devil's hell and damnation. Help us tonight, coming in from all of our distractions, to be reminded of the very sobering and real fact that people all around us, human beings in every country, every language, all around the world, who have not believed on Jesus, are condemned and under the wrath of God and need to be saved before their time is up. We pray that the example of Belshazzar, this proud, arrogant, wicked sinner who was judged, will be an example and an example to us of what happens to people every day who are under the judgment of God and don't know it, or do know it and rebel against you. So we ask for your wisdom tonight, and we ask that as we read these words from the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit of God but open our hearts and minds and give us the ability to receive your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Belshazzar, the king, held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. And he was drinking wine in the presence of 1,000. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, his concubines, might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, his concubines, drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the king's face grew pale and his thoughts alarmed him. His hip joints went slack and his knees began knocking together. The king called aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, the diviners. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me shall be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription or make known its interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. The queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you're able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you'll be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you'll have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Keep your gifts for yourself, or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father, because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished, he killed, and whomever he wished, he spared alive, and whomever he wished, he elevated, and whomever he wished, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind and his heart was made like that of a beast, of the beasts. And his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold and of bronze, iron, wood and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hands are your life breath and all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Now this is the inscription that was written out. Mene, mene, tekel, epharsin. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. So tonight I want to make four general observations from this chapter. Number one, life's a party before God's judgment comes. Number two, God's judgment is certain on sinners who do not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, God's holy people warn sinners of the coming judgment of God. And number four, God's judgment is certain, sure, and complete. So may I remind you again of this book. This book is a picture. If we go back for just a moment to the very first chapter, you remember Nebuchadnezzar the king has a dream, and he has a dream about a very tall statue. This is Daniel 2, O you, O king, were looking, and there was a single great statue. And that statue was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you in its appearance. A head was made of gold, its breasts, arms of silver, its belly and thigh of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. We learned as we studied this that Nebuchadnezzar saw the kingdoms of the Gentiles. The kingdoms of the Gentiles in this statue. And then a rock came from the heavens, not cut with man's hands, and it smashed the statue, reminding us that the kingdom of God is the rock that grew to be as big as the earth. The kingdom of God is greater than the kingdoms of man, greater than the kingdoms of the nation. We live now in 2018, in the times of the Gentiles, in the times of the Gentile nations, which will not always be. We somehow rock ourselves to sleep thinking that somehow I'm amazed by this, that people would think this is heaven on earth. Are you kidding me? Seriously. And that America will always be here. All the nations, including the United States of America, belong to God, including the rest of the nations and Gentile nations of the world. The Jewish nation has been destroyed and shattered and the people scattered until they're regathering based on the promises that will yet be done with Israel. Now we live in the times of the nations of the Gentiles. And the book of Daniel will help you always understand the book of Revelation. If you do not understand Daniel, you do not understand the final book of the New Testament. It's very important. I say all that to say that now tonight, we read these sad words about a man who lives like the majority of men in the world live today, and women, who live acting and living as if life's a big party and a big joke, and the wrath of God hangs over them. The wrath of God hangs over them. Life's a party before God's judgment comes. So we find this king not leading his country, but drinking. Drinking. I've said it to this church a million times. I've never found one good thing about alcohol. Not one good thing. Pastor Mike, what do you think about alcohol? I've never found one good thing about alcohol. That's my answer. The king lived in drunkenness and sensuality. All kinds of wickedness and sensual things going on in these thousand nobles gathered together in their drinking of wine in the presence of the thousand. What's the king doing? What's this man who's to be the leader doing? He's drinking wine before the thousands. Life's a party. Why does it matter? The king lived in blasphemy and idolatry. I'm using these words because they remind us of our own world today. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 50 is the description of Hiram's work in the temple and crafting and putting together everything. And we read, beginning in 1 Kings 7, Solomon made all the furniture which was in the house of the Lord, the golden altar, the golden table on which the bread of presence, the lampstands, five on the right, five on the left, in front of the inner sanctuary of pure gold, and the flowers and the lamps and the tongs of gold, and the cups and snuffers and bowls and spoons and fire pans of pure gold. This is part of what Nebuchadnezzar robbed when he came to Israel and marched into the house of God, because God's judgment came on Israel, who would not listen nor pay attention to the words of God nor his prophets. And judgment came. They were hauled off to Babylon, given new names, as we've seen these young men as an example of those who were exiled into Babylon. And now we find the king in his pride, drinking from holy vessels dedicated and placed in the house of God. The king lived in pride and unbelief. And I want to read to you for a reminder tonight. And this is where I'll move back and forth between the New Testament and Old. And you're going to have fast fingers. And I hope that some of you took your medicine so your arthritis won't keep you from keeping up with me. But we're going to have to look at this together. And I always encourage you, bring your real Bible to church so you can look these verses up. It's good for you to do it. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons and daughters of disobedience. Among them, we all too, in here who are born again, everybody in this room who's born again, we all also formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Please notice the last phrase of what Paul says to us. It's very important. It's very important. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So all around us tonight, people living in the lusts of their flesh, indulging in the desire of the flesh and of the mind, living in absolute disobedience and unbelief and blasphemy and drunkenness and sensuality. Life's a party before God's judgment comes. So we must remember tonight who we were before we were born again. Who we were. We were children of wrath, even as the rest. God's judgment is certain on sinners who do not repent and believe on the Lord. So I want you to go back to Daniel 5 and notice. You see, this is so important for us to remember. One day, time will be up for the Gentile nations. One day, time will be up in this world. And as the Lord Jesus said, it will be like the days of Noah, people having marriages and celebrations and banquets and parties and doing business transactions, and then the flood comes. Judgment comes. I want you to notice the Bible has every word matters. Daniel 5:5. They're drinking, they're celebrating, they're praising their gods, these idol gods of silver, gold, holding up holy vessels dedicated to the temple of God, used in the temple of God. Back to Solomon's day, hauled off to a pagan land. They take these things which are holy and sacred, set apart for God's use, drinking liquor out of them, boozing it up, living in sensuality and blasphemy, in pride and arrogance. And the Bible says, verse 5, suddenly, it's the way it's going to be. Suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. I'm not here to be cute about it. Lots of sermons are cute about this. I want you to see what the Bible says. In the midst of the party, suddenly, God's message is written on the wall clearly for the sinner king to see. You know what happens when the message of God is presented to people who are in sin? Lots of times they get afraid. And people will say, "Oh, Pastor Mike, we don't want to talk about God's judgment because it will scare people." Yes. It will scare people. Well, we don't want people to think that we're just a bunch of people who are pointing our finger. No, again, remember, we're not here apologizing for God's ways. We're here to be His people and to be true to the Word of God. Oh, the king's afraid. The king's face grows pale. The message of God's on the wall. All of a sudden, something has happened. His thoughts alarm him, verse 6. Don't you love the Bible? His hip joints went slack. He was having a fainting spell. The drunken king, the party boy. The hands written on the wall. The knuckles on the finger is written on the wall. And the king, who's having a party, now is living in dread fear. What does he do? What does the world do when it hears these messages about the judgment of God? Why, they call their wise counselors in. Worldly wisdom comes to the aid. Dr. So-and-so, whoever it may be, to explain away any message of God's judgment. Why, that doesn't go on these days, King. But we see again that the worldly wise had no ability to interpret these few words on the wall. Oh, the message of judgment wasn't long. The message of judgment was very short. What I want to remind you tonight of, look, if you're a follower of Jesus, when we talk about the judgment of God, it ought to soften and it ought to sober our hearts about the broken, wicked lostness of our world. And they live right here in Dixon and all the surrounding counties. You go to work with them every day. You may eat at the table with them at home. They may be in your extended family. So while life is a party, suddenly the message of judgment comes. Well, I want to pause and I want to have you look now with me at what the Bible says in the New Testament about God's certain judgment on sinners. I want you to see, first of all, with me, I'd like for you, to, if you have your Bible, to go to John chapter 3, and I want you to see the words of the Lord Jesus. And we read in verse number 18, these are the red letter words of Jesus. The words that are so precious to us, for God so loved the world that He gave His own Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. That the world might be saved through Him. And oh, please now, we don't make it to verse 18 very often. Hear your pastor tonight. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Judgment is already done on those who do not believe. These are the words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus. Then we go on and we read John the Baptist as he came on the scene and was preaching repentance, and the people were coming. And the last words we have quoted from John, last words, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. Oh, hear the prophet, the final prophet. But the wrath of God, are you reading your Bible? Abides on him. Life's a party, and the entire time people live in blasphemy, wickedness, sensuality, idolatry, and unbelief, and in pride, the wrath of God abides on them. This is why Paul calls us children of wrath. Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 1, very familiar to most of us on a Wednesday night, but I want to comment on it. Paul, in talking about and opening his words to the Roman church, begins to talk about unbelief and its consequences, whether you're Jew or Gentile. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed. It's a present tense Greek word, verb. For the wrath of God is being revealed, is the way it reads, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. What do wicked men do? They suppress the truth. They suppress it. They don't want to hear it. The message comes. The message is preached. The message is shared. Suddenly, the message of God appeared on the wall to a man having a party, this sinful, wicked man. Jesus said, those who do not believe on the Son are condemned already. Born into this world, and as long as we live without believing in Jesus, we're under condemnation, eternal condemnation. The holy God resists the proud. The holy God in heaven, who sent His Son and loved the world, resists those who will not respond to the gospel, and they live in condemnation. Our friends and our families are under condemnation. This is the urgency of what I want us to be reminded of tonight from this story. I'm not going to let us just read this as history. Daniel is given to us as an example as believers who follow Jesus with all of God's revelation to be reminded of the fact of the judgment of God and how real it is in our world. I ask you to go now to Ephesians 5:6. I've given you my note on it, but I want you to read the Word of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What are these things? Go back to verse 5. No immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. So says the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of men, under condemnation, facing eternal condemnation. This is the condition of our world. Psalm 7:11. God is angry with the wicked every day. Did you hear me? Romans 3:5. The God who in fact, let me just read it to you. This is Paul's question as he's talking about the justice of God in His judgment. He says in Romans 3:5, he says, may it never be, rather let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. And then he says, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Please notice, the God who inflicts wrath is not unjust, is he? Answer is no, he's not unjust. Now we find this king shaking, this mighty king, this king who would brag about his greatness. Now he's holding a dedicated cup from the temple of God, the Most High God, in his hands, drinking, carousing, committing idolatry and blasphemy, and suddenly the hand writes on the wall. His worldly wise men cannot help him, so what happens? God sends His man to speak to the wicked, condemned sinner. I hope you're listening. Why are we here? Why are we here? To gather up so we can all feel good about what God's done for us? Why are we here? We are like Daniel. We are like Daniel, exiled in a world that is not familiar to us anymore. Why are we here? Listen to these words. Even the queen of this wicked king said, there is one in whom the spirit of the gods dwells. Did you not know tonight, church? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it is God who lives in you. In this world, just like Daniel. We read the story. God speaks through Daniel a man filled with God's Spirit. When God sends people into your life, you must speak the truth of God's Word to them kindly, but be like Jesus. Speak with grace and truth. Sometimes we use grace, but we forget the truth. People will perish. The person you're talking to who doesn't know Jesus is going to die and go to a devil's hell. Jesus talked about perishing, friends. Do you hear me? The Lord Jesus talked about the judgment of hell far more than he did about the blessings of heaven. This is our Lord speaking to us with an urgency. Daniel speaks boldly to the king. You heard the words. I don't want all your stuff. I'm not interested in being third in the kingdom. But I'll tell you what the writing says. I'll tell you what the message means. So he talks about Nebuchadnezzar's conversion. We talked about it at length. A man who became like an animal, and he finally woke up in his pride and he looked up to heaven and he called out to the Most High God, and Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, wrote his own testimony in chapter 4. This is the grandson. Many times they use the phrase son, but it's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, not the son. It's the grandson. So Daniel exposes the king's pride. Did you see that? He said, verse 22, chapter 5, "Yet you, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you know all of this." Oh, here's a wicked sinner who knows about the conversion of the great king Nebuchadnezzar, but he chose to live in rebellion, wickedness, blasphemy, idolatry toward the Most High God. So Daniel now announces the judgment. Mene. Literally it reads numbered in Arabic, in Aramaic. Numbered. Mene. Numbered. Tekel. Weighed. Numbered. Weighed. Peris. Divided. Three words of judgment in the message of God. Grace is over. Forgiveness is over. Opportunities to repent, done. I want you to see in Acts chapter 20, and one of the things we can learn very much about in the gospel, in the church of today, to learn again what our forefathers, our spiritual fathers, did as they preached the gospel. Acts 20, 21 says, this is Paul. He's talking to the Ephesian preachers and elders of the church. He reminds them of what he did from the first day he came to Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, verse 19, "with tears and trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, I did not shrink." See, this is, I'm not with preachers in here, but there are some teachers in here. Don't shrink from declaring what is profitable and teaching all of God's Word. Solemnly, verse 21, this is so important. This is why I'm like this tonight. I'm solemnly speaking to you about a very important matter for us as a church, the judgment of God. 21, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter tells us in 2 Peter, those very familiar words that we quote often, "The Lord is not slow about His return, as some count slowness, but not wishing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance." Not wishing for any to perish. Are you listening to me tonight? Listen, I want to give you this little statement to remember. God's long patience with sinners is not God's forgiveness. You better write that down. God's long patience is not God's forgiveness. Some people think because everything's fine, everything's going to be the same way. Just, hey, I mean, come on. What are all you Christian people so worried about? I mean, come on. Let's have a party. Let's fulfill our own desires. Let's live it up and fill to the fullest. Who cares about what the Bible says and all that God talk and about Jesus? I'm still alive. I'm prospering. I don't believe in God. Long patience of God is not the forgiveness of God. It is the patience of God. Because He does not wish for any to perish, but for all to change their mind. You know, when you came to Jesus, you changed your mind. You repented. You changed your mind. And I love what Paul did. He preached repentance to God and faith in Jesus Christ. Well, finally, God's judgment is certain, sure, and complete. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you are reading the historic words that come from the book of Daniel regarding, are you listening? The destruction and obliteration of the great kingdom of Babylon. So I read for you, I didn't put it in your notes, but I want to read prophetic words to you that were spoken before the day of Daniel. They come from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 51, beginning in verse number 36. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. I will bring them down like lambs to slaughter, like rams together with male goats. And Babylon fell. And we read these words tonight. Daniel 5, the same night Belshazzar the Chaldean king was slain. Oh, but did you catch it before that? The king honored Daniel, but he never repented. The king heard the message. Mene, mene, tekel. Farsin. Numbered, weighed, divided. And he never repented. The majority of the people in the world will hear the message about Jesus Christ and repentance and faith, and they will not believe. And then they face permanent eternal judgment. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will perish. Those are the words of Jesus. I don't have time, but if you want to go home tonight before you go to bed, and you should, you know, this is, I don't have time tonight. Sometime I'm going to give a little talk on how to listen to a sermon and not go to sleep. That's going to be the title of it. If you learn how to listen to a sermon, you won't go to sleep, no matter how sorry the preacher is. And I'm a sorry one. I'm just saying you'll learn. But here's what you can do tonight. Something be better than anything you can watch on news, because you already heard it before you came in here. It hadn't changed in however many hours we've been here. You go home and read book of Revelation, Revelation 16, 17. You read about the seven bowls that will be poured out in judgment upon this world. You know, Peter chooses to talk about the day of the Lord, not in the return of the Lord Jesus in its various parts, but he talks about the absolute obliteration, destruction of old earth. And he says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And what kind of people ought we to be knowing that? Holy people. I have put it down in quotes for you, Psalm 76, 10 to 12. For the wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath, you will gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all who are around him bring him gifts, bring gifts to him who is to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is feared by the kings of the earth. Tonight, do you want to know? Here's how I would end tonight. Acts 17:31, another sermon of Paul. God has fixed a day, a day. God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world. Do you want to know and see the extent of God's wrath? It's not in the destruction of Babylon. Look at the cross. Do you want to see the extent of God's love? At the same time, look at the cross. But tonight I remind us all, this sad chapter of a man who started the day having a party, that night was dead. God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world. Please don't be one of those who believes that the way things are now, they will always be. The days of the Gentiles and the times of the Gentiles will come to an end. And the Lord Jesus will come again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we ask that as your people, we might be sobered tonight by the reality of what you have said to us about the condition of family and friends and strangers who do not know Jesus Christ or who have rejected believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, who are under judgment and the wrath of God is being poured out. God's just giving them over to their own desires tonight. The wrath of God just turning them over to their own desires. Oh Lord, help us to see it. It's all around us. And how we pray that you might help us to be faithful like Daniel and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak through us with urgency and passion. May we live holy lives and may we tell other people about Jesus and call on them to repent, change their mind, and believe on Jesus by faith. Put aside the silliness that they worry about. Put aside all their little concerns and realize that eternal destiny, life or death, stands before them. Help this church to do its work remembering this. We honor your word and we look at your word tonight and we ask that you'd help us be doers of your word, not just hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.